teenage boy who was from a baby boom generation turned into a hero with amazing powers after he was bitten by a nuclear radiation-infected spider. Marvel introduced other heroes like Ant-Man, Thor, Iron Man, and X-Men with the same principles. Marvel's new heroes were nervous, complicated characters with a list of deficiencies whose human aspects were magnified and were distinguished from the flawless characters before. The baby boom generation changed society, following social injustices, the Vietnam War, racism, and the assassination of their popular president, Kennedy. The generation triggered a social revolution and questioned American values and causes. During those years, the Cold War reached its pinnacle. The Soviet influence in Vietnam increased, and the U.S. did not want to lag behind the rivalry. People in the U.S. took to the streets to protest the Vietnam War. But the most important superhero in the hero-making industry in the U.S. concurrent with the Vietnam War was Iron Man, whose real name was Tony Stark. The Vietnam War, with its huge casualties and costs, was one of the shameful decisions in the eyes of Americans, and the opposition had snowballed. Society needed to be convinced. Someone had to sympathize with the people who had lost their sons and daughters. It was Iron Man who was tasked to do so. In the 1960s, he initially supported the U.S. Army's involvement in the Vietnam War, arguing that the U.S. will make a lot of money selling weapons.
For your consideration,
but gradually, he faced many changes. He was increasingly disillusioned with U.S. foreign policy. In the mid-1970s, he expressed remorse for the deaths of people who were killed by the weapons that he made and said he will take revenge for the people who lost their lives, especially for ignorant people like himself.
I saw young Americans killed by the very weapons I created to defend them and protect them, and I saw that I had become part of a system that is comfortable with zero accountability.
Mr. Stark.
Hey, Ben.
What happened over there?
I had my eyes open. I came to realize that I have more to offer this world than just making things to blow up. And that is why, effective immediately, I am shutting down the weapons manufacturer division until such a time as I can decide what the future of this company will be, what direction it should take, one that I'm comfortable with and is consistent with the highest.
The change in his character was a symbol of change in American society that had become aware of its own identity. The enemies of the superheroes were no longer the Germans, Japanese, communists, or any other foreign entity. The main enemy was inside the United States. During this period, the protests by people of color against racial discrimination spread. Leaders like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. turned into the symbols of resistance against the U.S. structure. The protests were at their highest after the assassination of Malcolm X in 1965. The incidents made Marvel create its first black character named the Black Panther. the scandal caused by President Richard Nixon, his resignation, and high inflation and unemployment rates made things worse.
In Washington, a break-in at the Watergate Hotel was found to involve five men in the pay of the committee to re-elect President Nixon. The burglar's target was the office of the chairman of the Democratic Party. The story was to make the names of two young local reporters from the Washington Post.
The catastrophe following Nixon's corruption case and the Watergate scandal gripped American rulers by the collar. They had realized that public opinion needed to calm down. And just like in the past, the superheroes were the best options. In one of the comic stories in this period, Captain America, with its fake copy, namely the Captain America in the 1950s, who fought for the U.S. Army, tells himself, "I've never fought with my own demonic part. A man with patriotic dreams, I'm responsible for the evil he did." Captain America was fighting with a sinister empire that wanted to take control of the U.S. In the end, he captured head of the White House, and by removing his mask, he realized the U.S. president was the head of the evil group. The story is about disgraced Nixon administration. This time, unlike the previous times, the captain didn't become happy after achieving victory, and he abandons the fight. He loses faith in Americans and chooses to become a stateless man. He says, "I've done things that I don't take pride in anymore, but I always tried to serve my country well. Now I can see that the government is serving itself." The bitter taste of those days made Spider-Man stories bitter. Something rare happened in Spider-Man. Mary Jane, Spider-Man's fiancé, was killed in a fight. Spider-Man blamed himself for Mary Jane's death and never stopped reprimanding himself following the incident. It was similar to how Americans felt about their government. Marvel adopted this line and made social criticism in its stories. DC also tried to become aligned with social developments to some extent. So, it introduced a real hero against the power structure in America in its stories. He was the greatest and the eternal boxer, Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali won the Olympic gold medal at the age of 20. He was always against the government because of the oppression against the black community. And because of his stance, he didn't join the army, so he wouldn't be forced to fight for the U.S. Army in Vietnam. Muhammad Ali was a symbol of resistance against U.S. dominance, and he had become an international figure. And DC used the popular hero. In one of the stories, Superman, who's a symbol of America, was defeated by Muhammad Ali in a boxing bout. Later, they made up a team to save the planet from aliens. In the end, Muhammad Ali wins in a boxing competition against the aliens, and Earth was saved. The pictorial story became the best-selling comic in the late 1970s. After Ronald Reagan took office in the 1980s, he made the government smaller but expanded the army. The conflict with the Soviets escalated, and American citizens' nationalistic support boosted thanks to professional media techniques. Reagan, who was formerly a movie star, knew very well how to act like a hero. Amid the Soviet threats and the Cold War, many people were scared of widespread crime. The Reagan administration was an avid proponent of individualism and consumerism, while the population was more scared of the violence. In Night of Darkness, there's a character of the president in the city of Gotham. It shows a cartoon of Reagan and his nationalistic speech.
Brave American forces are now engaged in direct combat with Soviet troops in Corto Maltese. Now those Soviets would like to see us turn our tails and run, but we've got to protect our interest, stand up for freedom. So don't you fret, we've got God on our side. Or the next best thing, anyway.
While his city was about to collapse because of injustice. In the real world, on December 22, 1984, a citizen from New York named Bernard Goetz shot thieves with 4 bullets to defend himself. People sympathized with him, and the court that had already indicted Goetz acquitted him. He became the symbol of a person who has provided security and safety for himself in a chaotic world. He saved himself through his acts of violence. The situation provided comic books with sufficient ammo, and new characters stepped in. In response to the world of violence, 3 characters, namely Punisher, Daredevil, and Logan, torture their enemies through the most violent methods and would kill them after they lost a lot of blood.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Welcome back to you, listeners. You're tuned into Iran Radio, broadcasting from the heart of Tehran. I'm your host, Masuma, and I'll be here with you over the coming hour as we continue with another round of thoughtful and enlightening program. Thank you for staying with us. Up next, we present Islamic Upbringing, a program dedicated to addressing frequently asked questions about the upbringing of children and adolescents. The questions submitted by listeners and gathered from various online platforms are answered using guidance from the Holy Quran, the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his purified progeny, as well as psychological studies. For those with deeper questions about their faith, question and answer on Islamic beliefs follows. In this segment, our scholars respond to inquiries about topics such as the knowledge of God, His divine attributes, prophethood, and foundational aspects of Islamic belief. The questions arrive via email and cyberspace. Then we invite you on a global journey in Round the World with Reporters. Our correspondents across the globe will bring you unique stories and updates from around the globe. Following this, we'll have Islamic upbringing. Stay with us.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome to another enlightening episode of Islamic Upbringing, where we dive deep into the essential aspects of nurturing your youth in line with Islamic teachings. In this program, our discussions are rooted in the guidance of the Holy Quran and the timeless wisdom of hadith from our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family, and the insightful narratives of our noble imams. I'm glad to have with us today Brother Muhammad Liaqat Abbas, a research scholar from the Seminary of Qom, who possesses a wealth of knowledge in both Islamic studies as well as psychology. So, Brother Liaqat Abbas, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sister.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, Brother Liaqat, today we have a question. We have a question from a teenage girl who says that when she sees other mothers and their daughters outside her own home, she feels like their mothers are more loving towards their own daughters. And when then she compares that with her own mother, who usually is upset with not waking up early of the children, and has a bad mood old age. So she feels like this is not fair. Other mothers are more loving and more caring towards their daughters. So what is your take on that? What are your initial thoughts on this? Like, it seems that a teenager is comparing the parenthood.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Normally this happens amongst teenagers, amongst children as well, where children see that see an action of another parent, and the child is like, oh, why is it not happening with me?
Me.
Yeah. So this question normally remains in the heart of the child or the teen, example, and they won't portray it to others. Over here, alhamdulillah, this teen has portrayed it. So this is a good thing, alhamdulillah. But normally this is there, like, they won't share it with their parents for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That you know what, I've seen this with regards to my friend.
So you're saying if a teenager is even expressing this, it's a good sign.
It's a good sign. Yes, it's a good sign. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Number one. Number
so
two is
keeping it inside is bad.
It's not. It's not good. It's not good at all. Okay. Number two is when the teen normally sees this example, the mother is upset with her over here, yeah? Or the father is upset with her.
Also has mentioned the reason, like waking up late.
Waking up late, example. Yeah, perfect. When you know the reason, it becomes much easier.
Okay.
Over here, the very fact that the teen is getting up late is making the mood of a mother very bad. Yeah, for whatever reason.
Okay. And I think that should be, any mother should actually.
But it depends. Waking up early, but it depends till what extent. Yeah. Example, the mother is getting too upset, which shouldn't happen. In the process of bringing, there's a limit where example, the parents should be going till a certain level, even in upsetness. Yeah. Even when you show that you are not happy with the child, there's a certain level.
So I was like, today we are going to say this is a poor teen, but unfortunately we always usually have this, that there's always these poor parents. Mm. So their upset level has also.
Yeah, exactly. Over here, maybe balanced. the parent showed too much of upsetness.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is the reason that the teen is feeling. Yeah, definitely it's not good. It's not good at all. Yeah. So for which is the reason the teen is like, oh, you know what? My mother is always upset with me, and I can see other mothers so kind, so loving, so caring towards their children or towards their teens. Yeah, my friend's parents, example, and it goes on. The story goes on. So over here, number one for the teen herself, example, or himself, who is going through this kind of situation. Yeah, exactly. We have to tell them, okay, look. Why is your mother getting upset? Because of you not waking up early. Why are you not waking up early is also a question now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the teen is on the phone call or is on the phone, or social media.
Or has troubles waking up early.
Or maybe waking up. Exactly. Like, it should be sorted. Yeah.
Okay. This is something that needs to be discussed more. I'll take a pause here and we'll be back in a while.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman. Don't give in to Shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin, wa Khaliqana wa Rasiquna.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have started discussing some of the parents' questions and the teenagers' questions as well. So this program is not limited to the questions of the parents only. We also take up questions from the teenagers or the children themselves, so that a life is made better between the parents and the teenagers themselves. So yeah, Brother Liaquat, we had a question that a teenager is comparing her mother with other mothers and finds out that other mothers are more kind, and she herself admitted that her mother is usually upset with her because of her waking up late. And you said, first of all, the reason is known, and the thing that the child portrayed herself is a good sign. It's not a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not keep it within. She expressed this, and she expressed the thought, and also she's seeking the solution.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you first have a message for the mother, like, she should not be too upset. Her upset level has to be balanced.
Yes.
And also you have to look for the underlying reasons why the child is waking up late.
Example, normally, usually in teens, they have the capacity to sleep up to like 10 to 11 hours sometimes. Yeah. So actually this is the same question which was portrayed in front of me. There was a teen who used to sleep a lot. Because not because he used to sleep late, because it's his habit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping a lot is his habit, and actually it's his need. And it was his summer vacation, and during holidays he would sleep more, okay, and would always get like, I would say, scoldings from his father and stuff. So I was like, okay, do one thing. No matter what you do, okay, no matter how deep you sleep, try to wake up in front of him. Like, you wake up so that you are with your father. He doesn't see you sleeping a lot. Okay. Mm-hmm. Example. And there was one fine day where he should be traveling. Okay. And he had to catch a train. And I was like, okay, do one thing. Tomorrow that you're going to catch a train. Okay. You have your, like, the departure of the train in the morning. Yeah. So do one thing. Even if you wake up late, make sure that you start from your home on time, dedicated time, yeah? Like 30 minutes before departure, yeah? 30 minutes before the departure of the train, you have to start from your home. This is your deadline. This you can't miss. He was like, okay. And the next day, it happened that he slept. He overslept, and he woke up just 10 minutes before he has to leave the home.
All right.
Okay.
That's 30 minutes.
But alhamdulillah, the good part was he could get ready in like 10 minutes, and he left towards towards the station. And he got on the train, and his father, all the way, he was telling his son, like, you're good for nothing, and like, you don't wake up early and stuff, okay? And of course, I have trained him, so he was like, don't say anything, just be calm, maintain your cool and everything. And they reached on time. And when the teen caught the train, like, he got inside and everything, there was still time remaining, like about 10 minutes or something. And when the train left, he waved his father goodbye. He was going to a place. And then he saw the eyes of the father completely wet with tears. Tears were rolling down from the eyes of the father.
All right.
And he was like, why are you crying? Like, when the train was moving. Mm-hmm. And the father says to him, I'm sorry for what I have scolded to
and
what I've done to you.
Now that's interesting. And let's discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, a righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. Brother Liaquat Abbas is here, and we are discussing the parent and teenage issues here. We had two issues that popped up into each other, and these were the similar issues. So I would want you to continue.
Yeah. So over here, the father started to cry. And looking at this, even the son started to cry. Please don't cry. Like the emotional bonding and stuff.
Increased.
So he was like, I'm so sorry, and I've realized I shouldn't have spoken to you in that manner which I've spoken. I thought you would miss your train and stuff. Then the teen was like, it's okay, I completely forgive you, that's completely fine, and I know that I'm not gonna miss something. I know my sleep issues are there with me. This teen was really suffering with sleep issues. Like, he would sleep a lot, yeah? So
sometimes you have to look for the underlying issues and
But the teen knows his responsibilities as well. Yeah.
What are your comments on comparing?
Yeah.
Should teenagers be comparing their parents literally?
You know, comparing is a bad act, I would say. Why? Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with parents, okay, then it means that there is a big hikmah or wisdom behind why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you these parents. Likewise with the children, okay. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your spouse, your children, they are your wealth example, yeah, they are a test for you, yeah. With regards to parents, your children are a test for you. Why are these particular children blessed to you? Why not others? Yeah. Example, why not your neighbor's children are with your parents? And why isn't it that you are with your neighbors? Example, considering them as parents. Yeah. They are hikmah. They are big wisdoms behind this particular act. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the
you
parents with
particular
children
particular
and the
child.
Yeah, the children with particular parents. Yeah. There's this thing, like the other day I was having this discussion where the scholar was telling that, you know what, over in these cases, you cannot complain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Over here, the state of rida or the state of acceptance completely should be there. Example, if the mother or the father are bad towards a child, then the scholar was like, yes, completely. Then even if the children are bad towards the parents, the parents should accept them in the manner that these are my children. Yes. Not that, okay, this particular act is a good act example. Even if the child does something bad,
try
it's
to
a good
fix the act rather than targeting the personality itself.
Exactly. So you see example over here itself. Over here itself, just because of the act of the teen, just because of being kind, calm, everything.
The father would cry.
You imagine, yeah. Like you see, the action would change. And once the teen got back from the place where he went, the father would hug him, would show him even more love.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, if the parent himself or herself are troubling, suffering from a disease, a spiritual disease, example, they have to seek counseling.
Mm.
Or the teen can approach a scholar, example, in order to make them understand.
Right.
And with regards to comparing itself, no, the teen shouldn't be comparing.
All right.
Should seek du'as instead, inshallah. So that,
seek help,
yeah,
rather than comparing them,
yeah,
because
yeah,
everyone, you usually see the good of others. You don't see when the other parents are angry with their
exactly
own children. Maybe
yeah,
they are worse than yours. So
yeah,
like, don't compare. So you're awesome suggesting comparison is not a good thing.
Indeed.
And also you guided us through. Thank you so much for your
thank
valuable
you
advices. Thank you so much to your parents. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, take good care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
In silence, a man was burning and keeping the light alive. A bone in his throat, a thorn in his eye. In silence, a man was burning. Keeping the light alive. Speak to us, let your burden
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering a doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman, Allah, who is Al-Mannan.
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. We're welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of the program, and today's guest is no one but Shaykh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
All right, Shaykh Karimi, for today's discussion, I want to talk about Rad al-Shams, the returning of the sun. So it is said that sun returned for Imam Ali alayhi salam to perform the afternoon as prayer, the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first, let's talk about the authenticity of these events. Is this possible that, for example, and how authentic is this story and event, Rad al-Shams?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The concept of Rad al-Shams, which is literally translated as returning of the sun, which is, of course, is not the true meaning of the event.
Mm-hmm.
It is just the expression used by the people, because there is no return of the sun.
Yes.
Because it's the earth that is moving around the sun.
Yes.
But metaphorically, it is called Rad al-Shams, or returning of the sun. To be more exact, it is returning the earth, not the sun.
Mm-hmm.
According to some verses, some narrations, and some viewpoints of some scholars, Rad al-Shams also happened before Islam. There are some stories about...
what is it exactly? What happens exactly?
I will explain. Okay, that is the question, that how is it consistent with the empirical laws.
All right.
So there are stories about three prophets, Solomon, Suleiman, Dawood, David, and Joshua, as mentioned in the Old Testament. And according to some scholars, in the Quran, four prophets, Suleiman, alayhi salam. Now, let me share these verses, as mentioned in chapter Sa'd, verses 31 to 33. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعَشِيِّ أَصَّافَنَاتُ الْجِيَادِ. One evening when they were displayed before him, prancing steeds, فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَحْبَبْتُ حُبَّ الْخَيْرِ عَنْ ذِكْرَ رَبِّي. He said, indeed, I have preferred the love of worldly niceties to the remembrance of my Lord. حَتَّى تَوَارَدْ بِالْحِجَابِ. Until the sun disappeared behind the night's veil. رُدُّوهَا عَلَيَّ فَتَفِقَ مَزْحًا بِالسُّوقِ وَالْأَعْنَاقِ. So Solomon said, bring it back to me, that is the sun. Then he and others began to wipe their legs and necks. So, according to some scholars, this is one viewpoint, when Prophet Suleiman alayhi salam was watching some of the niceties, like horses, for example, he was so engrossed to this watching that he forgot to say his afternoon prayer, and then there was sunset, and then he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for returning the sun. So then the sun appeared and he was able to say his prayers.
Mm-hmm.
This is mentioned by some of the scholars based on some narrations. But the other group of scholars reject that. They say that it is against the concept of isma, or infallibility of the prophets, that the prophet like Suleiman, he is so engrossed in watching the horses that he forgets about, saying his afternoon prayer. So there are two contradicting viewpoints regarding the understanding of these verses. And when it comes to the Old Testament, it's been mentioned that, for example, Joshua, when they were, in one of the wars, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to set the sun in a way that there would be no sunset. and they would be able to fight the enemies. So, this is about the pre-Islam events. When it comes to the time of the Prophet, there are two stories, both of which are about Imam Ali alayhi salam. The first one happened at the time of the Prophet himself. The narration reads that once the Holy Prophet sends Imam Ali alayhi salam to do something. When he came back, the Prophet did not know that Imam Ali alayhi salam had not said his afternoon or asr prayer. Then according to this narration, the Prophet put his holy head on the feet of Imam Ali alayhi salam to rest, and at the same time, he received some revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And reception of this revelation continued until sunset. And Imam Ali alayhi salam, he could not ask the Prophet to stand up so he would be able to say his asr prayer. And as I mentioned, the receiving of the revelation continued till the sunset. When this process ended, the Prophet asked Imam Ali alayhi salam whether he has said his afternoon or asr prayer. The Prophet said that I was not able to ask you because of the fact that you were receiving the revelation. So Radd al-Shams happened, and Imam Ali alayhi salam was able to perform his asr prayer.
Yes.
So this is mentioned by many Shia and Sunni scholars, and even today there is a mosque which is called Masjid Radd al-Shams in the city of Medina. The mosque in the place that this miraculous event happened. Allama Amini in Al-Ghadir, he had mentioned many Sunni scholars who have narrated this story, and even they have written books about this event. For example, Abu Bakr Warraq, Abu Hassan Shahdal Faldi, and Abu Muayyad Muwaffaq ibn Ahmad, and many other scholars, even Suyuti.
Yes.
He has a book, Kashful Labs, an Al-Hadith Radd al-Shams. Ibn Sa'd in At-Tabaqat al-Kubra, Mas'udi in Ithbat al-Wasiyya, both Shia and Sunni scholars, they have narrated this story.
That's right.
The other event happens at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's been mentioned that once Imam Ali alayhi salam, he was moving with some of his armies, he himself and some of his companions, they said their asr prayer. But then some of his companions, they were not able to say their ask prayer on time. So Imam Ali alayhi salam asked God for Radd al-Shams, and it happened, and they said their ask prayer. Again, this had been mentioned by both Sunni and Shia scholars.
So this case is not about Imam Ali himself, isn't it? It is the power of Imam Ali alayhi salam in asking God subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
Because some people might say that how is it possible an infallible Imam missed his prayer on time?
The first story is about Imam Ali alayhi salam himself missing the prayer, but the second one is about some of his companions missing their prayers.
Okay.
So these two stories are mentioned regarding Radd al-Shams as related to Imam Ali alayhi salam, one of them at the time of the Prophet and the other at his own time. And both are mentioned by Shia and Sunni scholars. Now, having said that, there are some objections about the concept of Radd al-Shams and the authenticity of this narration. I'm just referring to some objections and the answer of some scholars, and I'm not going to evaluate any of them, just to share with the dear listeners that there are two viewpoints regarding these stories.
Okay.
The majority of scholars, the great majority of the scholars, they accept Radd al-Shams. Now we're talking about the ones regarding Imam Ali alayhi salam, as the one regarding Prophet Suleiman alayhi salam. As I mentioned, again, there is a disagreement. Many scholars do not believe in that because it is against the infallibility of Prophet Suleiman alayhi salam, and some scholars accept that. But now we are talking about Imam Ali alayhi salam's story. So the great majority of the scholars, they have accepted this story, and they say that it is mentioned by many Shia and Sunni scholars, And some even they have claimed that it is considered a mutawatir narration, and there is no doubt about the fact that it has happened. But few scholars, especially recently, they have doubted about the authenticity of this narration. They also say that it is not in line with the great status of Imam Ali alayhi salam to miss his ass prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But the other group answered that no. I mean, the Imam alayhi salam had a reason. The Prophet was receiving the revelation on the lying on the foot of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and the Imam had no other choice.
Was it obligatory prayer or no? It could be recommended.
No,
prayer?
It was the obligatory prayer.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is the argument. Some who are the majority, they believe that the Imam alayhi salam did not have any other choice. The Prophet is receiving the revelation. The other group, which is in minority, they say that no, it is against the merit and virtue and status of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
So it's not true.
It's not true. So when it comes to the authenticity of the narration, as I mentioned, the majority of the great majority of the scholars, they accept that. And the minority of the scholars, I mean, especially in our time, they do not believe in that. Now, having said that, now there are some, empirical objections mm-hmm. against Radd al-Shams. So first of all, as I mentioned, some people say that Radd al-Shams is about returning the sun. And we know that, it's impossible. It is the earth that is moving around the sun, not the sun moving around the earth. So it should be returning the earth, not returning the sun. But the answer is that it is just a common usage of the word. Because, I mean, even we say that, I mean, the sun rises, the sun sets.
Yes.
But the truth of the matter is that it is the earth that is moving around the sun, and then the sunrise or sunset happens. So it is just some common usages of the word, and there is no objection regarding this. Now, the other question is that, it's not possible for any change in the movement of the earth around the sun. Otherwise, the whole system of, the planet Earth and the galaxy would collapse. Now, the answer that is mentioned by the scholars is that we are talking about a miracle. We are talking about an event which is against the natural laws of, the earth. So is it possible for the stick of Moses alayhi salam to appear in the form of a big snake?
Serpent.
It's not possible. Mm-hmm. It's against the law. But this is what is miracle all about.
Mm-hmm.
Dividing the Nile River into two parts.
Yes.
It is in line with the laws of, the gravity or everything that we know? No, it's not in line with that. So the answer of the scholars who believe in Radd al-Shams is that we are talking about a miracle. So this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change this movement through his power without any collapse in the system of the galaxy mm-hmm. and the planet Earth.
All right.
And the other answer given to this is that, and the same has been mentioned regarding Shaqqul Qamar, splitting of the moon, which is yes. one of the miracles of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, himself. The other point is that some scholars, they have mentioned some other theories to make it more likely. So one understanding is that, okay, sunset happens, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his power, changes the position of the earth, and then people see the sun again, and Imam alayhi salam performs his Asr prayer. This is one understanding, which may bring some objections by empirical sciences. But the other understanding is that we know that the light of the sun comes to us living on this planet Earth with a delay of 7 minutes. Okay, so,
okay.
The sun that we see now is the sun in 7 minutes, 7 minutes before.
All right.
So this view is telling us that what happened maybe was only a change in the speed of the light, mm-hmm. not in the position of the earth and the sun.
Okay.
So at least it is another possibility that God, through his power, only made a change in the speed of the light.
All right.
Or in the angle of that light coming to the people watching the sun, mm-hmm. okay? So it does not, lead to any collapse in the system of this universe and the galaxy and the earth.
As you can see, in some parts of the world, for example, the lengths of the days and nights are shorter and longer.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
That's it. Okay.
So this is another understanding way of this, that the people... what happened was not a very big change in the system of the planet, our planet and the universe. No, it was only a change in the speed of the light and the angle, and so that, Imam Ali salam was able to say his afternoon prayer.
That's right. So this divine exception can also be a rule for a higher purpose, Sheikh Karimi.
Yeah.
And that is, in this case, the validity of prayer.
Exactly.
I mean, this is also the higher purpose that is considered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind the scene. It was very kind of you. Yeah, thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. Please, for more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Puraza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
It all began with all the trappings of a traditional state visit. Horse-drawn carriage, royal pageantry, a formal greeting by the king, all behind the walls of this 11th century castle away from the public. But as the motorcade rolled, the marchers advanced in their thousands, a raucous sea of voices organized by the Trump Not Welcome coalition and allied groups, making their ire clear.
He's a rapist. He is a racist. He is enabling and funding a genocide in Palestine. He is a nightmare in all ways for the values of the UK. He is funding tax cuts for the super rich by taking away the health care of ordinary people in the United States. He's got his goons out on the street disappearing people and bundling them into the back of vans so that they vanish without a trace. He is a danger to democracy in the United States and to prosperity and peace around the world.
The visit comes hot on the heels of the far-right march in London this past week, seeing a common threat with Trump's rhetoric. The UK says ties with the US are vital for trade. For the protesters, the moral cost outweighs the political calculus.
See, the way some governments are behaving and our government is behaving is to get as close to Trump as they can in the hope of getting some crumbs from his table. You can sort of see that on the level of rationality of one country. But they are allowing, by doing that, they are empowering him to carry on behaving in all these sorts of terrible ways around the world. So I think there's an alternative where these countries in the world say to Trump, no, we're not having your tariffs. We won't let you. We won't trade with you. If you do that to us, we will trade. And I think that's what they should be doing, is seeking to take him down.
While criticizing the UK government for inviting Trump in the first place, everyone here also highlighted Trump's enabling of Israel's genocidal war on Palestinians.
My primary message to Trump is, you're supplying the arms, you're supplying the political support, you're giving the diplomatic cover to Israel. You could stop the destruction of Gaza straight away if you wanted to.
I'm part of an encampment outside the American embassy where we are pointing out that the USA is funding the genocide in Palestine. And Trump is the face of genocide.
It's been a tumultuous week for the British Prime Minister, from the far-right march to a cabinet reshuffle to the sacking of his ambassador to the U.S. over links to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein and the continued public pressure over his government's support for the Israeli regime.
Away from the pomp and pageantry extended to Donald Trump, the voices here say they want a different legacy, one not of spectacle, but of justice. They want the British government to ask itself, does it want to be remembered for its business deals with the United States or for complicity in genocide? Site for is up London.
In central Iran, Isfahan Science and Technology Park stands as the nation's largest hub for knowledge-based companies, home to more than 780 firms specializing in fields such as lasers, medical equipment, advanced manufacturing, and artificial intelligence. Today, the park reports a robust turnover, with $60 million in exports and steadily rising figures each year, as it builds stronger links to bring Iranian innovation to global markets. Here, ideas take shape, transforming vision into reality.
We have built links with Iran's major industries. Last year, companies in this park recorded a turnover of more than $550 million, and exports topped $60 million. In recent years, we've also forged ties with BRICS and Shanghai Cooperation members, and we look forward to expanding those connections.
In recent years, we have focused on the commercialization of knowledge-based companies, boosting production, and raising their export capacity.
These companies also benefit from being in this park, an advantage that helps them boost their exports.
This is our fourth year in the park, and we've really used the connections here. Last year, our exports hit about $10 million, and this year, we're aiming for $25 million.
Companies here rely on homegrown knowledge. They save hard currency, reduce dependence on imports, and keep Iran's industry running.
Like other knowledge-based firms, we turn to the steel industry. Our mission is clear: to localize our products, put them on the market,